apology, the half apology by Honorable September, who will join us a little later today. Our agenda is not that extensive today, but of course it's on issues that have elicited a lot of debate and that the committee has extensively consulted on. There's two issues: the consideration of the report on the symposium, and then the discussions, and then the consideration of the report on the committee to the trip to Gaza from the 7th to the 11th of December. Now, honourable members, can I respectfully request that we deal with point 4 first?
An extensive
quite extensive engagement that took place on a variety of issues that's encapsulated in the report. I want to put it to you, honourable members, for your further engagement.
Having read the report, the entire report contains accusations against Israel. What we do know, all of us, is that there's always a minimum of two sides to a story, normally more. And the recommendations in this report are about undertaking a fact-finding and solidarity visit to occupied Palestinian territories, to the parliament, to the Palestinian people. There's no mention here of making any effort to find out what's on the other side. My question would be, are you afraid to find out what's on the other side? Are we afraid to find out what's on the side? Are we not big enough to actually see the story in its entirety? So I would just have a problem with, obviously you saw what you felt you saw, you heard what you felt you heard, but the recommendations close this in to become really impossible for us to see the picture as a whole. So I would recommend that we look at these recommendations. Thanks.
Okay, honourable members, there are views expressed by the honourable Dudley. Honourable Davidson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I can you hear me? Is this working?
Yes, yes.
The first thing I need to ask is this. What is the purpose of the debate? What are we trying to achieve in this? Are we just merely trying to express an opinion, which inevitably would be motivated by, obviously, personal feelings and highly subjective? Or are we trying to get a real handle on the problems of the area with a view to reflecting on our own history and trying to make a meaningful input. Try to make a meaningful impact into an impact on the process that is going on there. Now, if we just want to express a view, then that's fine. We can express a view. We're a parliament of South Africa. And government has a policy on this which recognises a two-state solution. And I would suspect that that should be the guiding light in terms of policy going forward. And if you want to play a material role in respect of unfolding that process, then we must focus on a two-state solution, which means we must recognise that there are two parties to the process, which means that we must engage both parties. Now, the problem that I have with this report, first of all, there were no opposition members present, which I understand that there may well have been personal reasons. But the real problem that I have with this report is that it's enormously one-sided. I can't even begin to address the resolution if there is not even a mention of reflecting on the Israeli position. Now, you know, we all have feelings and about the scenario and their subjective feelings, but I think we need to apprise ourselves of both sides of the story before we rush into making resolutions on this matter. And certainly I'm not equipped at this stage to make any sort of comment in terms of the recommendations. The only point that I would make is to underline that which Member Dudley has spoken about, and that is that I think we must take out all loaded words from the resolution, and I would endorse a fact-finding mission, but that fact-finding mission must be visiting the Palestinian authorities as well as the Israeli authorities, and get a view from both of them as to what the problems are. You see, this has been an intractable problem that's gone on for ages. For us to have any relevance in any sort of debate in this matter, we've got to apprise ourselves of both sides. Otherwise, I'm afraid what happens if all what we do is take a stance which is exhibited by the nature of the document, you undermine your own credibility as a parliament and an institution of this country. And that, to me, is the problem. We shoot ourselves in the foot in that context, because you actually undermine the credibility of your own institution by taking an ill-informed decision and patently a one-sided decision. If we're going to do this, if we're going to take a decision, and if we're going to have a debate, then let's apprise ourselves of the real facts out there, and we may come away with hugely loaded feelings and take a view one way or the other, but that, be that as it may. But I can't look at a document which is so one-sided as this, loaded with emotive words, and expect me to even engage in a substantive debate on this issue on the basis of that which is before. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Davidson. Honorable members. I noted Honorable Kosan and then Honorable Hajaj.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know, because it looks as if this report went through Parliament yesterday, if I'm not wrong. Are we allowed at this point to amend the recommendations?
That's a correction. It was the Addis Ababa visit.
It was not the
committee. No.
Okay. No, Mr. Chairman, I also look at the recommendations. I think I share some of the sentiments which other colleagues have expressed. Because if I look at the submissions that all the parties submitted to this report, the earlier ones on the workshops and so on, remember you requested submissions from parties. And if you look at the submissions from the parties, I think then you can relate to what the other members are simply suggesting in terms of if Parliament really has to undertake the fact-finding mission, then it has to be in terms of those reports that come from the different parties. And those reports that come from different parties support the two-state solution. They support the peaceful coexistence of Israel and Palestine. They support the roadmap. They also support the involvement of the other organs like the Quartet and so on. Now, to me, that would lead to a recommendation that would want to take into account the two situations there. So we may have to amend our recommendations. The first one there, and in fact, if we say solidarity visit, then I think we are prejudging the situation again. We need to leave it open and say that we, Parliament, need to visit that situation and engage the two belligerents. I think this, to me, would make sense. And again, the Parliament, foster Parliament-to-Parliament relations with the Palestinian Legislative Authority. I think, again, we need to add also the Israeli Legislative Assembly. Because this has been, in the past, some recommendations that the Parliament really need to engage parliaments in areas where we see the conflict, but engage all parliaments in those areas to deal with the conflict or to bring about peace. I think, personally, I think, to me, that would be the amendment I would recommend. And the other, if I may add something, Mr. Chairman, if you allow me. I must say that it's not long ago where we're in that situation there when we wrote to President Beki requesting that he and Parliament establishes what we called a presidential multi-party peace envoy for the Middle East. And now these peace envoys should consist of the heads of the parties in Parliament, not their designates. Or people who represent them, but the heads of the parties in Parliament comprises of the peace envoy for the Middle East, and then they would then be advised by the President and the Minister of International Relations. Because you see, when you discuss this issue, the Middle East question in Parliament, it's an emotive issue. There are various issues coming up, and unless you're going to get a consensus from all the parties in Parliament, I mean, I'm talking about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, even 10 years ago, we're still discussing these issues emotionally. Why? Simply because in Parliament you cannot get a consensus that says this is how we deal with the Middle East question. So, to me, that recommendation of a multi-party presidential peace envoy, which would work with the president on this Middle East question, to me, it would in fact yield some positive results. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Skosana. Honorable Hajaj.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few points. First of all, having read both the documents, there's a report on the symposium held on the 16th of November, 2011. And in that report, there was input by the Jewish Board of Deputies, the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem, the South African Zionist Federation, the Open Shuhada Street, Egyptian Community of South Africa, COSATU, Palestinian Solidarity. So it's not as if the viewpoint of Palace of Israel has been left out of the equation. The second point I want to make is that this isn't the first visit to that area. Since 1994, we've had umpteen visits, and they've all been multi-party ones. I remember the second one, Dean Smuts went on that visit, and when they visited both Israel and Palestine. And there was some members of the opposition actually didn't want to go into the Palestinian area because the roads were so bad to walk on, and facilities were so bad, and all the rest of it. The point I'm trying to make that whether I think Ms. Dudley, I don't know if she's been to Palestine. I think it would be a very good opportunity to actually go and see what is happening in Palestine. And when people talk about Palestine and what exists in the state of Palestine, it is worse than the worst days of apartheid in this country, where the majority of black people had to live under the conditions they had to live under. So I think let us be a bit fair and even, you know, in discussing this issue. We all want a solution. This thing has been going on for 60 years, and without, and as far as I'm concerned, and I stand to be corrected, without the assistance and the complete support, without impunity, by the United States of America to the state of Israel, I think Israel would have, and the Palestinians would have come closer together by now. So I think the issue is very much wider than just Palestine and Israel. Those are the first two things I want to say. I'd like to hear the comments of the other members. Thank you, sir.
Still on a point of order, let's ask a question. What are we debating? Are we debating the portfolio committee, the report on the visit to Gaza, or are we talking about the report on the symposium? My impression was, and I say this from Mr. Judge's point of view, is if we're talking about the report on the visit to Gaza, and we can't conflate the two, as she has just tried to do. We're talking about the report on Gaza, and either we must address that report or we must address both reports together.
Okay, all right, Honourable. Okay, let me quickly clarify this. You see, the issues are so intertwined. In fact, even in your own comments and that of the other members, clearly there were references to the issues that may be contained in the Gaza report. But the issues are so intertwined that you can't study. I noted what you said, but I realize that, you know, there's no
thought the machine is not working. No, no, just to help the Honorable Ian, this report on the symposium has been in the committee, not for the first time. And then we had taken a position to say, let's reflect on the symposium report and come up with a resolution, which the chair said we'll deal with after we have adopted or agreed with the GAVA report. So the GAVA came after the first symposium report.
Yeah. So I'm not very aware of that, and thank you very much for the member. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to do is this. Either we're going to deal with the two issues and conflate the whole issue, which I'm very happy to do. That's not a problem. But as I understand your ruling right at the outset, Mr. Chairman, you said, let's deal with the GAVA report first and then come to the report on the symposium. And that's exactly what I was focusing on. Because you see, the point that I was making was this, that the GAVA report by itself is a highly loaded report. It doesn't contain an Israeli point of view at all. Now, if you're going to conflate the two, well, then that's a different question. But I'm just going by the chairman's ruling at the outset. Now, if you're going to conflate the report, well, then that's a different question. Then we can indeed debate both reports. But I'm in your hands. I mean, I really don't mind.
Okay. All right, Honorable. No. Look, let's stick by my ruling. I will accept references, but not substantive discussions on the GAVA report. Because, as I'm saying, the issues are intertwined. The symposium. There might be references because the issues are intertwined, but we will not discuss the content per se of what is contained in the GAVA report. I have Honorable Wanyama.
Thank you, Chair. The way I just glanced through the report, Chairperson, I am bound to come to the same conclusion that Mrs. Dudley came up and with. And that we have to be very, very careful in the manner in which we cover and our report as South Africa. It may be that the issues that we come up with are factual, in the sense that they are backed up by empirical evidence of us having been there. And that cannot be contested because most of us were not there in the first place. However, when it comes to the recommendations, because the recommendations, in my view, are leading us to the point where we need to reflect more or less the position of the country. That's where my fear is. And if we actually move within that, Chairperson, I therefore disagree with the formulation of the recommendations the way they are, because they are positioning us, they are actually compromising the country, if I were to be blunt. Because as South Africa, we have to occupy a position that ensures that we intervene in the manner which actually gives us a high moral ground on the situation. If we trace back the history of the involvement of South Africa in that situation and remember the SPIR, the Presidential SPIR initiative, and which was led by President Ndegi, invited both sides at SPIR, trying to listen on both sides and try to find a solution on both sides. And it moved to the point where the process, Chairperson, actually was hampered because of the historical alliance of ANC as a political party with Palestine, which was historical and proper at the time because of the political situation which was prevailing in South Africa and the role of the apartheid government with regard to Israel and the relations of apartheid government with Israel. However, as the country was removed beyond that, I thought in my view that we have actually moved beyond that point. Now, for us to actually take a step backwards is going to compromise us, Chairperson. Because that SPIR initiative was taking us a step forward. And everything else that followed, including the deployment of people like Mr. Griba, or Major General Griba, and to Israel, was a step forward. And also,
the director visit by the Director General of Israel to South Africa was actually now taking a step forward. So in my view, I want to say that I cannot contest factually what is written in terms of what the delegation found there. And it would be foolhardy for any person amongst us who was not there to do that, to attempt to do that. But our position is that to position South Africa and the Parliament of South Africa. That is why I wouldn't concur with a view that says that the Parliament undertake a fact-finding and solidarity visit to the occupied Palestinian territories. Why are we talking about solidarity? Because we're actually positioning ourselves now backwards. We have to intervene in the manner, and we're going to come up maybe factually with some of the atrocities that have been perpetrated, but in a different context, Jefferson. Within a context of trying to find solutions in that situation. That is why I would remove, for instance, that point that says that end solidarity visit to the occupied Palestinians. The Parliament can go there to look at the occupied and the area. And why it is important for us to do that, in my view, is because it's a contested issue right now. Because that now becomes a highly contentious issue in finding solutions. And therefore, going there as a parliament, and then we can go there, so that we have first-hand information about what is happening in the area. Not for us to play solidarity with a particular partner in the area, but truly as a fact-finding and a statement. And secondly, Jefferson, the issue that the Parliament forces Parliament-to-Parliament relations with the Palestinian Legislative Authority. I would say that maybe it is necessary for us to take that point, but not now. After the resolution of the process, then we can actually take that, because if we take that position, already we're actually positioning ourselves, and therefore we cannot be a referee and a player in the process. Cannot be expected that we as South Africa, we know from our own experience what we've gone through in terms of negotiation. So my view, Chair, is really within that context. It's around the question of recommendation. And how do we then position ourselves in this whole process? Because we can't position ourselves as the old and the sort of a belligerent situation. We're part and parcel of a solution and a finding and a kind of delegation as South Africa, and not and to exacerbate the tensions in the area. That would be my approach on the matter, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Boy.
Thank you. Chairperson, thank you to honorable members. I do think that we faced quite a difficult situation. It's not so easy as all of us are trying to make out of it. Very difficult. I do accept that there were initiatives taken, but also Parliament needs to forget that we are also visited by a Palestinian delegation that presented its own situation. And even before the Gaza Strip, that presented quite an extensive research of the challenges and things that are happening around the situation itself there. And one of the lessons that I would say, even beyond what happened here in South Africa, is what is presently influencing us in terms of what happens in the Middle East since the change of regime that has taken place. You see, that people don't address them to that particular situation, because the Palestinian delegation would engage you quite extensively about change of relations in what happened with Israel, Libya, and Ethiopia, and in all those areas, not Egypt, what is really beginning to influence them and impacting on their relationship, them beginning to be constituted in the manner they are constituted. So there are new features, I mean, to what is happening in the Middle East. And I think what really influenced us to beginning to say that we need to move forward is that changing of the situation. So we are looking for a situation that says, because even in what
the Honorable is saying about the old relationship that has been there and how where we should have positioned ourselves. The situation has changed in the Middle East. It's not the same. And we are finding ourselves in that situation. And I'm just saying you are correct when you say there's no solidarity. You are 100% in line correct. We should deal with that wording. If that wording is not correct, but what do we do with the situation, that change of relations? That's the challenge. Where is Parliament at this particular moment? And what do we do with the environment that we're confronted with? And those are the questions that made us to come to some of the decisions that we're beginning to say. For us to arrive, I mean, those Palestinians feel a little bit that it's not based only on our historical relations. It's more based on what solutions do we provide and what type of leadership do we give in this present era in a situation of where their relationships have changed. Libya is no more there. Egypt is not the same. What is it that we should do? And that's the question that we are trying to find answer to. And that's where our leadership is coming in to question now. That if it goes to the UN Security Council, it's quite a number of other people feel that we should allow Palestine to play an active role on its own. Is it what we want to agree? That's the debate we want us to be helped into. That what should our decisions mean? Because when those Palestinians were presenting here, not because they were one-sided, not because the chaplain gave even then the contextual why they got to come to South African Parliament and appeal to us to be able to help them in the environment that we're confronted with. So the origination here is just not about that other things. There's been a history of engagement around this particular debate. And I'm just saying that without taking a party position, is that what do we do as parliamentarians? How do we resolve this particular development? Because it is a reality. We can't be overlooking it for a very long time. You know, it is something that we should be. It's confronting now. It's a situation that is in front of us. It's not a situation that is originating those of our ties and historical relations. It's a situation that today Gaza, I mean the Palestinians, will totally different by one of their own, I mean the Israelites. And how do we deal with that? You're correct in a broad framework to say that we might compromise ourselves as a country if we just move into just endorsing the Palestinians and while there's a component, I mean, which is called the Israelites. But what is our solution? Given also the problem that the membership of the committee has not been stable, you see. It's been changing quite some time. Quite a number of people are picking up at the tail end of the debate that has taken place long before. Now, for me, is how do we assemble our different experiences together and deal with this environment without pointing fingers at each other? And that's what we're looking for. That's why maybe where we sit, we're saying to ourselves that put this forward, test it if it's going to work, and reflect on it, and out of it find a solution. Not being arrogant, but to engage, because we steadfastly saying to ourselves that the environment has changed in the Middle East. It's not the same at all. And the solution doesn't lie only with us as a party, but it lies with the collectivity within Parliament and how to address this environment. Because the Palestinians are feeling totally ill-treated. And, I mean, if we wanted to use our nostalgia positions of saying that we were treated like this by apartheid or not, but would have been hard-nosed to deal with that situation. We are agreeing that it's not how we want to deal with this environment. We want to engage. And these are merely proposals that we said maybe put them forward out of experience and then we'll all reflect on it, that this is what is. We're not going to be emotional, we'll listen to some reason. Because the membership of even of the committee has changed and we can't hold people ransom because of that. Those parties have got responsibilities. All of us have got responsibilities. But let's debate the issue in a manner of saying that how do we guide Parliament to come to the best solution in the situation itself.
Thank you, Honorable Boyd. I give to Honorable Dudley, Honorable Suleiman.
Thank you. I appreciate Honorable Boyd's input there. Maybe it's helpful to mention, though, with regard to the symposium, there were not just organizations speaking from an Israeli or Jewish point of view. There were Palestinian organizations and pro-Palestinian organizations, and there had been previously as well. So that kind of puts it out of the way because this was something in addition. And I really do also appreciate Mrs. Hodge's suggestion, and I support it, that opposition parties, including myself, do get invited and included when you go to Palestine. It may be very helpful. And likewise, it would also be helpful if we all do a similar exercise to what we saw in Gaza, in Israel. For example, Gaza is firing missiles into Israel daily. Now, you've been in Gaza. You didn't spot any missiles being being fired into Israel. So, I mean, these things need to be questioned. Yeah, we can't just leave it, you know, under the carpet. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Dudley, let me just correct you. During the week we were there, there were at least 5-6 bombs that were dropped on Gaza. No. But the point is, you see, you made a point to say that since we got there. Now, I'm telling you that it's not true. It may not be encapsulated in the report precisely because as a delegation, wait. As a delegation, we didn't want to put that much emotion, if you wish, as put by Honorable Davidson, really to have a negative report. The focus really was on what the engagements were. In fact, part of the report on page, I think, 9, you will see there's a, not page 9, you will see there's a report about a visit to a 12-year-old boy at the Al-Shifa Hospital. Yeah, it's on page 7. During the visit to the hospital, the delegation visited the intensive care ward of a 12-year-old boy named Yusuf Zala. He was fatally injured by an Israeli bomb that completely destroyed his home. His father, Mr. Basra Zala, 35, and younger brother, Ramadan Zalan, was killed in the explosion. Yusuf Zalan tragically died approximately 2 hours after the visit of the delegation to his ward. The survivors of this bombing were his mother and 5-month-old brother, who miraculously escaped the blast with minor injuries. So it's there, not in that gross, grossly reported, but it's there in terms of what constitutes the facts. I think that one of the questions that I think this committee should respond to is, given our own experiences as South Africans, and having been beneficiaries of solidarity of the international community, what is our posture towards the occupation of the Palestinian people, first and foremost? We can debate missiles and rockets to and fro, that's fine. But purely on the basis of the principle, there is an occupation. In South Africa, you had an occupation that we called, as the ANC now, that we characterized as colonialism of a special type, where both the colonized and colonized occupied the same territory. Honorable, I know I'm reminding you. So, but then what then is our posture? So I'm just saying that's one of the, I've noted there's been a number of people, talking about the solidarity issue in particular. I think there's consensus about the fact-finding mission. I think everybody agrees on that, right? But there's a fundamental problem with the solidarity issue. And the question is from, I'm raising that so that when we engage, we discuss that as well. Okay. I'll come back to you. I'll note you. Honorable Suleiman, and then Honorable Dudley, Honorable, and then Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. This report, I do not have a problem with it. See, we've been invited to Gaza. And this information we received there that we observed. So I do not have a problem with that. If you go to Israel, maybe we get a different scenario. Each side will put its own. So let's accept it. Maybe the recommendations. We can look into that and argue what are we going to do with that. But what the information we received, you received it. We can do nothing about that. So let us go. As you see. But in the recommendation, maybe we can recommend that we all give it to Israel. And here is their side of it. And then we can also put that report, Parliament.
I would have thought about even if something is even not true. That's what information we receive from them.
So let's just look at the recommendations here. And I would like now, maybe the first one there is the parliamentary fact finding registry occupied Palestinian territories and Israel, maybe. That's what we can argue that. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Can I request, I think that there was a concrete proposal in terms of what should be done with regard to point one of the resolutions. So whatever you say, Honorable Dudley, please respond to that as well.
Yes, I agree. Certain people went with certain views, saw certain things, and that's what they reported on, and that's there. Nothing I can say about that because I wasn't there. So if you say that's your report, then that's your report. So I absolutely agree on that. The clarity I wanted was that when you mentioned we agree on a fact-finding mission, that was exactly my point, that we do a similar exercise that you did in Palestine, in Israel. So that would be, are we talking about a fact-finding mission that tries to apply even-handedly the method that we put in place? And then as far as solidarity is concerned, just to comment there, you know, South Africa's position in terms of Syria, Libya, Iran, dictators, issues, blah, 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 where are we going to go with the solidarity and how much interfering are we going to do in terms of taking a direct stand about what we agree with, what we don't agree with, or do we actually just want to help people move forward into a place where they can actually live peacefully? So, so I would seriously question the wisdom of just repeating a solidarity stance, because it's going to corner us in a lot of other places.
No, that's Honorable Boy.
No, I was going to say to members, it's important for all of us to acknowledge the visit, give support to it, because these are members of parliament and parties have different, reasons for them not to join them. So, yeah. I'm just saying that. You see, for the records of parliament, it's very much important that we acknowledge and accept it. You see, the issue of solidarity and how parliament positions itself at this present time, it's something that we should really engage into. It should not be just based on our own history, but it's something that we need to reflect on. But I'm saying that the Middle East is not the same, and the politics of the 21st century are not the same. So you can't want to have only and stand only on one position. Let's take it as part of our engagement, that how do we resolve to go and how do parliament say to us to move forward. You see, we'll talk amongst ourselves at the right time to clarify that matter. But what I really wanted to encourage is that let's accept the report. Let's agree that we should also either decide as parliament that we should go to Israel and engage the Israelites as part of this report. And then at the end of the day, we come to a solution that what is it that we want parliament to be recommended to do in terms of this both environment that we're confronted with. You see, I don't think there's anything wrong to do that, that we should take both views, and in both views, we come to a solution. You see, I really understand what the chairperson is saying, that there's no emotions. He has never tried in his leadership to make sure that there's no emotionalism about the issue itself. You would want us to arrive at the best solution with the situation that is confronting us. So I would really recommend, chairperson, that let's take the two options and then deal with the party politics outside and deal with the parliamentary one that says, what do we do at this particular moment? Let's adopt the report. Let's recommend another trip for Israel and then come to recommendation after both sides have been taken up. I think in any fair situation, you can only be judged when you're listening to both sides.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
I
agree with
is that an exigency?
Sorry?
Okay. No, I've noted you, but it looks like it's an intervention that the Honorable... Is it an intervention, Honorable Davidson?
Addressing the point made by the Honorable
Okay.
Boy.
Okay, let's continue with the, because I thought it was an intervention. Okay, Honorable. No, you were for you were on the line. You were in the line,
in
Honorable James, and then Honorable Gwanya.
Why I have a problem with adopting the report is by adopting the report, you are accepting the veracity of the content of the report. Now, here's the thing. I'm happy to note the report, and there's a big difference between noting and adopting. I'm happy to note the report because this is the report of a number of individuals who went to Palestine and had input. Now, the point that I have to make is this. No attempt was made to test the veracity of that input. For instance, your first sentence that is made in terms of the chairperson of the note raised by TAWTHEQ, I'm not quite sure what organization that is, approximately 15,000 crimes have been committed by Israel. Now, if you adopt the report, you accept that that statement is a matter of fact. Now, it may well be a matter of fact.
Okay, there's a point of order.
Look, let's be fair to you. We are saying that this trip is not a trip that just comes back here. The chairperson came closer to arrive at a trip. I'm saying that let's accept that. And then beyond that, if you want to deal with the contents of the report, then you deal with the contents of the report. But as of now, note or not note, you see, because what I'm saying is that, look, the chairperson brought these things here to the portfolio committee. These are issues that have been debated in the portfolio committee.
It's not a point of order, but
really?
No, no. Honorable members, you see, I thought that you would be assisting. There were concrete proposals. I tried to bring your focus. No, hold it, Honorable Davidson. You see, I tried to bring your attention to the concrete proposals that were made.
Yes, sir, I'm going
on
to
the
there.
Table. No. You see, Honorable Davidson, you move away from that. You talk about the report and whether it should be adopted or not. So please, can we try to get to a conclusion of the matter? You know, in the absence of really, you know, an attempt to try to push the thing, we will then have to deal with it a bit differently.
No.
I've noted you, Honorable Ngonyama. If it's an intervention, Mr. Ngonyama, I'll give it to you, Honorable Member. But if... Okay. Honorable Davidson, can you just...
I'm going to wrap up, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I think we should note the report. And I'm very happy to note the report. I then am very happy to support the suggestion made by, I think it was Honorable Dudley, and I think... Member Ngonyama, that we do actually encourage. Let me read the recommendation. That Parliament undertake a fact-finding visit to both the Palestinian territories as well as Israel. Two, that Parliament foster Parliament-to-Parliament relations with both the Palestinian legislative authority as well as the Parliament of Israel. And we leave it at that.
Honourable Ngonyama.
Chairperson, I'm worried in the manner in which we pitching the debate on this issue. And at this level, there mustn't be champions of any position. We should be at one on the issues here. If we differ, we must differ because, and we differ on the issue. But the way it is reflected, to me, it doesn't gel very well. But the point that I want to make, Chairperson, is that I still maintain, and I thought that the consensus was point one, that we are removing solidarity issue, and we agree on the fact finding and on the occupied territory, and also on the question of the parliament foster parliament to parliament relations with the parliament. I'm suggesting that to me is premature. Because it's premature in the sense that once we talk about that one, it has got connotations of a continuation of solidarity and a kind of principle. That is one. Or number two. And therefore, I am saying, if we are to take that position, which may be useful, but to sort of firm it up, if that's the principle of understanding what is the position of the parliamentarian and they're within that territory, to me it would mean that we must also pay a visit to the parliament of Israel. And then it counterbalances. Then we come out as parliamentarians fully briefed and fully understanding and everything that is happening there. But I was saying, at the present moment, we just want to focus on the territory, understand what is taking place, and continue with the meetings that we've been continuing with, meeting with civil society and various other organizations. And our position is that we are on fact-finding position. We place ourselves in that position. We are part of the solution and not part of the problem, in other words, Jefferson. And but I will not be averse to us taking that point number two as long as we say that we will also visit the Parliament of Israel. Now, the third point, Jefferson, is the Parliament highlights the plight of the people in engagements with other parliamentarians and so on. I would say even there, that one, let's take it out. The reason why I would recommend that we take it out, Jefferson, is that we have actually moved, our relations in dealing with the situation, they have moved to a higher level now. It's no more a situation of solidarity and therefore we must become advocates of the situation of one party there. We are part of the solution. That would be my view. If we take, for instance, the meeting that was attended in 2007, where South Africa participated in the peace initiative process in Annapolis, in trying to find a solution, South Africa went there as part of the solution. And if we actually move through all the initiatives that this country has taken, it seems to me that we're placing ourselves in a situation where we don't want to exacerbate and the belligerency in the area. And it does not mean, Jefferson, that atrocities are not taking place, and it does not mean that at all. But what is it, because we cannot become a player and a referee at the same time, what is it that the role that we want to occupy ourselves as a country? So, generally, those would be my recommendations, Jefferson, and maybe amendments on the recommendation. And please, let's actually, because this debate is supposed to be a very short one on this report, in my view. But it seems we're getting into this thing with some preconceived ideas, and we're unable to extricate ourselves from that. And yet, we're supposed to find solutions. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, what I will do is I will give Honorable Jacobus the last one, and then ask specifically to focus on the question of the recommendations, because clearly that's where the dispute is. Honorable Jacobus.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for my voice. I'm recovering from a cold. I think the one point I want to agree with Member Dudley on is the fact that the delegation went, and this is what was found on the Palestinian side. It can't be disputed. And also, I want to clarify with you, maybe you can clarify the question, because as far as I knew, members of the opposition parties were invited to join us. I'm not sure. I wanted the chairperson to clarify that. I'm not sure, but I understood that there were members of the opposition, some of the opposition parties, that on the last minute decided not to go. But I want to recommend what you're recommending now. Let's focus on the recommendations. And a lot of recommendations have been made already. So can we amend the recommendations and on that basis move on? I'm not sure if we note a report. Can that be, maybe the Honorable Chair, two chairpersons, House chairpersons are here, can advise us on whether, if a report is just noted, can we table it? But we must put something before the House, because we use money from the House to go on this mission. So I think we can either shelve it until we've come back with the other side of the story from Israel, and then we have a comprehensive report which can then be tabled. But I'm not sure if a noted report can be tabled in the House, if it was just noted and not adopted.
Yeah, can you please respond to that?
There have been reports which have been adopted in the House, and those that have been noted. It depends on the committee itself, the chairperson, whether the report is for noting or for adopting. Then the chief would say,
the question I'll share is whether it can be noted in the committee to be noted in the House. Because basically that's the thing.
Well, if the committee agrees that it be noted.
Okay. All right.
The point of contention at the moment.
Okay.
And I think people agree that it ought to be noted.
Okay. Honorable members, I think let me clarify, because indeed I think it's necessary to clarify the issue of how this delegation came about, so that there is no confusion about the facts surrounding the matter. A invitation was received from the Council for European and Palestinian Relations, inviting a delegation from our committee to attend the International Day, the UN International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. Every year it's declared so by the United Nations on the, I think, 29th of November, annually. The world parliamentarians converged on Palestine, in particular Gaza this time, doing fact-finding missions, come solidarity visits, acquainting themselves with what was happening, engaging with ordinary Palestinian people. I brought the matter here. It was discussed here in this committee. It was discussed here. I brought it here. The Honorable Ngonyama was supposed to have been one of the members of the delegation. He couldn't go. He had a personal issue. There were two Honorable Mubu was supposed to be from the Democratic Alliance. Honorable Mubu couldn't make it because of what he said were party commitments. And then there was the chairperson of the committee and two ANC members that were to form part of the delegation. It's there from the records of the committee. If some members may not be aware, those are the.
Chair is out of order.
well, let me rephrase. The phone is out of order. Excuse me, honorable members. So honorable members, those are the facts. That's how this delegation was made up. The problem, though, is that because of the late withdrawals, right at the last minute, we had to find other members of the committee who could make it at such a short notice. I think it was something like 2-3 days, honorable. It was about 2-3 days. So that is how it happened that, ANC members then had to, or in fact, the delegation comprised of only ANC members. I won't debate the facts around the issue. Those are the facts. I see Honorable Dati, not you, Honorable Davidson. So it was discussed here. Having clarified that, honorable members, let's come to the recommendations. I think there's agreement that Parliament undertake a fact-finding mission, right, and then we remove solidarity. Is there any different view? View that is different from that. Okay.
A fact-finding mission to both.
Yeah, to both. Yeah, it's a fact-finding mission to both Israel, the state of Israel, and the Palestinian occupied territories. Okay. And then the proposal is that the following two resolutions. Yes.
The occupied Palestinian territories.
Yes, no, look, it's established by the United Nations. They are called officially in the United Nations as the occupied Palestinian territories. So there's no debate about that. The fact that that's what they are recognized as by the international system. Okay. So that's point one. So there is agreement on that. Okay. And then the proposal with regard to point two is that either it falls off, in fact, point two and point three, that they fall off altogether, or, no, there's an alternative, or point two be expanded to include, I don't know what it's called, is the Knesset. That Parliament fosters Parliament-to-Parliament relations with the Palestinian National, the Palestinian Legislative Authority and the Knesset. So those are the two proposals with regard to point two. Right. I think the only person really who responded to point three was Honorable Ngonyama, who specifically spoke to point three. Honorable.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would not really say point three should fall off, because I think if we say that Parliament highlight the plight of the Palestinians, we can also say that Parliament highlight the crisis in the Middle East to the attention of the IP, which is the Inter-Parliamentary Union. I mean, we're carrying this crisis into higher levels.
All right, there's an amendment there. Agreed to. And then point two, do we expand it or do we take it out?
No, do we expand to?
Honorable Ajay, to the end there. Okay, so it's expanded. There's consensus on that. Okay. Now, with regard to the report, honourable members, does the committee adopt or note the report? Note the report and make the following recommendations. Okay. What I will do, because I have my own questions about the procedural issues around this issue. I will engage with the NA table just to check around the procedural, issue. But that is the position of the committee. There's consensus around that. Okay. No. Okay. Thank you, honourable members. That then concludes the. The Gaza report. Okay. Honorable members. Revise it retrospectively. just what, that was the theme under which the thing was held. So that cannot be amended or changed, because then you would be changing the record of what happened. Right? I hope I'm clear on that. And then, sorry. Yeah, thanks. And then point 2.4 that you raised, Honorable Gatley, you said that the representative of the Zionist Federation could not have said that that Palestine is a democracy. In essence, yeah. Now, we have looked at the records, honorable members. We have looked at the records. Indeed, the word democracy will have to be removed there. What was said was that the Zionist Federation respects the right of Palestine to have a state of their own, as well as the right of its people to select their own leaders. Israel only wishes to have the same right for itself. That is what was said on the record, factual. Okay. So. Yeah. And then lastly, the second bullet that honorable member, page 5, line 6.7. The second bullet to read calls on South Africa to call on Palestine not to bypass the negotiating process is what... that is the issue in contention, okay? Now, this is what the ambassador said, and this is quoted verbatim from the recording. He said, "We cannot understand why the international community, and especially South Africa, does not clarify to the Palestinian Authority that it cannot bypass peace talks and help persuade the Palestinians finally to return to the negotiating table for a direct dialogue with Israel. This is the South African way," he said. "And this is the right and only way to reach peace." Thank you. Those were his exact words verbatim. Right. Okay. So, honorable members, so having clarified those, I think those were the issues. Honorable, am I missing out something? No? Okay. Oh, okay. What you said, honorable... You said that security, the word security should be added to land and religion. We're dealing with the record. We're dealing with the record. Where's that document? Not this one. Okay, just give me a sec, honorable. I misplaced the document. Okay, but be that as it may, honorable members, this relates to what the committee members, the observations that were made by the committee members, right? Now, I want to reiterate, this relates to what the observations of the committee members in the meeting. The committee members, one member, Mukhalapa, raised the issue of land as a land and religion as the two causes of the conflict in that area. None of the members of the committee at the symposium specifically raised that issue. The issue of security. So, if it is going to be... No, hold, please. So, if you are saying this may have been raised by any of the, you know, by any of the people who presented, but if you read what is written on page 7, it relates... relates to all the observations made by committee members in the symposium. And none of the members of the committee, we couldn't find any references to the centrality of the issue of security as an observation made by members of the committee. Okay, the question of semantics, we can do that. It's really neither here nor there. Yeah, it's fine. Let's make that amendment during the symposium. Can we do that? Okay. Honorable members, let me ring the bell for 5 minutes. Can we please reconvene in 5 minutes?
person from this point. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
copies of the, or do you have copies, Honorable? Oh, okay. Then
10, yeah, they could in the meantime make some so that these are distributed amongst among the honorable members. But then let's deal with those recommendations later. So at this stage, I want to request for a proposal for adoption of the symposium report. Thank you, Honorable Makau.
It seems as if we are all okay with the rectifications made on the report, and everything is a true reflection of what took place in that symposium, and therefore I would move that the report be adopted.
Okay. It's seconded by the Honorable Dudley. While we can I have a copy of the co-proposers? The co-proposers. Okay. Let me give you a minute or two just to go through the co-proposers. Honorable Boy, it was seconded, and I don't know if there is somebody who feels different, honorable members. Okay, the report then is adopted. Thank you. Then let's just give the honorable members the opportunity for a minute or two just to go through the COPE resolutions.
that I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm happy to engage in a discussion. I can't engage in a discussion around the symposium because I wasn't there. But if one, in fact, is moving towards taking resolutions, I mean, what we must be careful of is that those resolutions don't conflict with the resolution that we've already taken, and that is to go and see for ourselves. I mean, I hear what happened at the symposium. We had perspectives from a whole range of individuals, and it sounds as if it was a very, very interesting exercise. But nothing takes the place of going to see for yourself. And so I'm saying that, I mean, once again, we can adopt that report, because everybody's happy with that report, and happy with the various views that were given in that report. But I'm not sure why we have to take resolutions in that regard. So I would say adopt the report, but then let's go see for ourselves, then come back, and on the basis of the results of the symposium and the various inputs there, and what we see for ourselves in Israel, then we can take a firm position as to what we believe the results should be, the resolution should be. I think that would need to be a more logical approach. I'm happy to stand back on this.
Okay. Okay, so thank you, Honorable Davidson. There's a proposal, basically, from Honorable Davidson that says, let us hold back these resolutions until we have conducted that fact-finding mission that we've spoken about in the previous on the previous issue on the agenda. Honorable Mahab.
Chairperson, I would have to say this for the first time. I would agree with the proposal of the Democratic Alliance that we take the same approach as already I highlighted. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Scotta.
I also concur with the proposal, but I want to add that should we not say these are, because what happened, you called on for the views from different parties, not resolutions. That is why they are written as views. The DA has some, we have some, it's views, it's not resolutions. We would have to discuss or debate the views from different parties.
Yes.
But I agree that let's suspend the judgment until we rounded the whole trip.
Okay. All right, thank you, and thank you for the correction. That is probably part of the problem, Honorable Skosan, that we loosely refer to these as resolutions, perhaps without really thinking what it means. Because ultimately they must constitute what would be, if any are taken as recommendations of this committee in terms of the way forward. Okay, Honorable Jacobus.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to concur with colleagues that said we must rather put the matter on hold. But what I would suggest, when we do come with our views later on, after we've done like the second leg of the mission, that we consolidate it into one document, try to incorporate all party views or recommendations, so that we discuss one document and not various party documents, because I think we can sit here for 2 days if we do that.
Okay.
Have you heard, Chairperson?
Yeah, I'm with you. I just want to check with the other parties, because I think we've heard what the ANC says, DA, IFP, ACDP.
Happy to go along with that.
You agree with that as well? Okay. I believe all parties agree. Okay. Let me just allow you to. No, Honorable Jacobus, are you okay? Okay. Let me give Honorable Suleiman the last word.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I haven't got a problem with that, but the possibility of going there to Israel, how is it? Is it possible? Let's play a role. Just, we've got two house chairs here. Maybe they can enlighten us on the possibility. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Honorable Gwanyama. Sorry, Honorable Boy.
I wanted to, I don't know, I thought that when we come here, we come on the basis that we are members of the portfolio committee. You see, if there's going to be continuous alleviation of certain positions in the portfolio committee against what, how you run the portfolio committee. I might have a little bit of a time to understand how does it work in terms of parliament. House chairs have to be, if they're party members, I mean they're here in terms of the committee, they have to be here in terms of the committee. But if we are going to bring the other levels in, then it becomes a problem.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. You're off the hook. No, thank you for pointing that out, Honourable Boy. Honourable members, Honourable members, some of you who were members of the committee in 2010 will recall that there was a letter that served before the committee of a request through the minister, from the minister initially to the speaker. The speaker then referred it to the committee about a visit to Israel and Palestine that related to the imprisonment, detention, punishment of members of the Palestinian Legislative Authority. At the time, I'm just saying for information so that those of us who were not here, you know, have an understanding of what it was about. But what would have happened, you know, was that the committee would have met with both Israeli and Palestinians from various, you know, organizations, and including some key role players in the Israeli state. I know the former foreign minister, what's her name again? It was a lady. Was it Tzipi Livni? Yeah, an engagement was arranged with her as well, and other, you know, role players, including the state on both sides, the legislative authority, and of course then I think also some civil society organization here and there. So that could not take place at the time because of the rumblings that were taking place in the Middle East, especially because that would have included Gaza as well. There were problems in Egypt at the time. So the committee couldn't, there were difficulties, and we were advised against traveling to the Middle East during that time. So I want to probably request, or I'm thinking that we may still, if the speaker would of course allow, because it was on his request, if the speaker would agree and the house chair on international relations, that we undertake that visit still, and perhaps then also see how we nuance it in terms of what we, the issues that we have discussed in the committee. That's what I would recommend to the committee that we do. Honourable Boy, Honourable Wanyama.
Look, I thought that in a broad way we have agreed that we are going to take a trip that goes to Israel and Palestine both. The detail of, from our part of the detail today is to say that we want to investigate our relations and be able to come to a particular decision. Maybe we should also, within that, reconsult with the ministry to see what is it that should have expected out of us in that arrangement, and also with the speaker, so that you can come with the most solid thing given the user comes in this way to that arrangement. That's what I would really ask you to augment in what the committee has really put in front of you to get as a responsibility.
Okay. No, thank you, Honorable William.
I think the Honorable Member has, to some extent, covered my questions, but the issue with me would be to go there with a broad mandate, a mandate which gives us space, and to look at the situation completely unhindered. And in other words, it shouldn't be that we are going there for a particular purpose only. It should be for us to look at the situation broadly and within the context of the resolution.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I said. No one is to meet the needs of the committee in the context of these discussions that we had. I thought that would have covered that particular concern. Okay, so let's try that route, honourable members. If for some reason it doesn't, we will then make a completely new application, and take it from there. Honourable.
No, I want to recommit members of parliament that if that trip goes ahead, Chair, and people don't make it, it might now not become a problem again when we bring a report back. Those are people who are there.
Yeah. Okay.
Since Honourable Boy brought up the point, can we also then include asking members of the opposition party? Because then we can decline or accept. Because I wasn't invited to go, and I was actually waiting for that call from somebody. So, thank you.
Okay.
Just on that, I think what you're going to have to do is make special applications, because there is an agreed formula which dictates exactly how the composition of overseas travel should be made up. And I would suspect that in this case, the ACDP would not be included. But I mean, that's the fact of it. Whether I agree with it or not is a different question. No. I mean, I do think, let me make it quite clear, I think Mrs. Dudley should be included, and that's the point I'm making, because she has a very firm view on it. But all I'm saying is that you're going to have to make special applications, because there is a specified formula, and that formula at this point in time will exclude Mrs. Dudley. So if we want Mrs. Dudley, and I recommend that we do include Mrs. Dudley, then in fact we're going to have to make special applications in advance.
No, thank you, Honourable Davidson. That's exactly what prevented the Honourable Dudley from making it to Gaza in the first place. You see, so, but here's the point, honourable members. Here's the point, that under no circumstances should we have a situation, notwithstanding, that the committee would go represent parliament at whatever event. Of course, not everybody can go. Comes back and the report is disowned by those who did not go. That, from a principle perspective, is completely wrong and goes against the bad faith, you know, the good faith that we've been, and in fact, that would go against the rules, because if a delegation represents the committee, what then comes back is a committee report. If adopted by the committee, is a committee report. If adopted by the committee, of course. So, let me give Honourable Hajjaj.
Chairperson, there's only one point. I think Honourable Davidson is correct. But on the other hand, there is a formula. And there is, different parties, harmony and whatever. And the smaller parties, their members go on a rotational basis. So I think we can't just change the formula, the rule as such. And I think the Honourable Dudley should canvass the whip of the smaller parties, and to ensure that she is included in the delegation when she goes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We note. Thank you for the assistance, Honourable Ajaj. Thank you, Honourable Members. We will embark on that process. Going forward. That then concludes the. Those are just quick ones. They are not up for discussion really. We'll just quickly open them. Honourable Members, what we next week will be the workshop on regional integration that we've been struggling for 2 years probably, Honourable Masao, to get together. Is it more than that? So finally it's going to take place next week. However, what we will send copies of the proposed program to the various parties for your engagement. We want to respectfully request, honourable members, that at least by Friday that we have feedback, if any, so that if there are changes that need to be effected, that they be effected, so that we are able to proceed with the program for next week, because we won't have a chance to meet as a committee before the this thing, the workshop. Huh?
Okay. Perhaps to tender my apologies for that meeting. We've got the EU delegation coming up. There's the SAEU discussion taking place on that Wednesday. So to accept my apologies.
Okay. All right. No, thank you. We are awaiting your apology, Honourable Davidson. It's Wednesday. Next week is on our committee date. That's the one, honourable members. The last one. The last one is I've received a communication from the Director General, Ambassador Machila, on the SATPA exposure. You will recall when we met last week dealing with the strategic plan of the department, the issue of SATPA featured prominently. Right. Honorable Suleiman, are you? So the issue of SATPA featured prominently. The DG in the meeting made the point that they will be going to some countries to do a some fact-finding mission, or in fact some study visit to see how these countries deal with SATPA. Perhaps I should. So the request is that the committee nominates one person to go on the study visit with the department. Let me quickly read the letter for you. As you are aware, the department is facilitating the process of establishing the SATPA to assume overall responsibility for coordinating all South Africa's outgoing development cooperation initiatives. This followed the cabinet decision taken in December. To enhance greater understanding and awareness of such agencies' function and in understanding their relationships with Parliament and other oversight bodies, my department is arranging a short exposure visit to Bratislava, in Norway. I would like to extend you the opportunity of identifying one member to join the short program. Costs related to the program will be borne by the department, while the program in the Slovak Republic is courtesy of the UNDP. It is envisaged that the program will commence on 29 February and will finish on 6 March. Hence, the designated member will need to depart by latest 27 February, depending on flight schedules. Okay, and then it's about my office is coordinating. So, honourable members, it's there for the committee to resolve on. Okay, honourable Jacobus.
Can I propose the chairperson goes?
Okay, there's a proposal that the chair goes.
Unless okay. There's a gender question.
Okay.
This is an issue, and it's an old hoary issue which has been raised many, many times, and that is this, that delegations of one member are the exception rather than the rule, because by very nature we are a multi-party democracy, and you can't have one member representing a committee when there are many voices in that committee. And I mean, this has been was canvassed many, many times at the Chief Whip's Forum, and many, many times there has been multi-party agreement that really one member delegations are in the main not acceptable. Now I want to say to you, I cannot go on this visit anyway, so I'm not arguing from a point of view saying that I should be part of the delegation as the largest minority party, but I just think as a matter of principle we should send a message back to the department saying that really, in the nicest possible way, that this type of extension of an invite to one person is not really appropriate.
Honourable Nganyama.
Well, Chairperson, I think as a matter of principle,
the point raised by Honorable Member Dudley should be endorsed by all of us in the interest of and Honorable Member David. Yeah. Thank you. Now the issue with me is that in the absence of that kind of a rule, the chairperson is best placed to represent us, because it represents the views of the committee, and it is expected that he presides over those views impartially, even as he brings the information to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable September.
Chair, I hope I'm not out of order in what I'm going to say. Arising out of the department's report that they left with us last week, out of that report, there certainly it became apparent that there is a need for the committee to find a broader discussion on how do we engage with that report, and in particular our oversight over that. Now, I think, Chair, you see, we then get to rely on the department to invite us all the time when it comes to these things. There was a long list of things that they had in there. I think we must attempt to find a resolution on this thing, because, you see, if we continue to rely on the department, our oversight is compromised. We can't, the one that we oversee, ask to pay for us all the time. In fact, I would have said we must ask Parliament to pay for you for this thing, so that we don't blur the lines between those that we oversee and ourselves, you know, our own independence in that. How you want to resolve over this, I don't know, but I think it's the right time to engage on that issue, so that we find a final resolution, in particularly for this committee. So it sounds complicated what I said, but I think it's a matter of principle that I'm raising.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Boy.
No, I was going to say, Comrade Sheldon, let's accept the letter and all the other issues that what Comrade Honorable Smart is saying, we agree with this. And then the details of that relationship, we leave it to you, and then the chairs in Parliament to assist you into resolving that particular matter. But let's not also ignore the interest of the department to want to engage us in some of the issues that they are confronted with.
Okay. Can I make a proposal, perhaps, from the chair, if I may, that we, in spite of the, you know, not so good responses that we had in the past in terms of applications that we've made, that we attempt, I mean, we can only attempt to apply for Parliament to pay for additional. It happens all the time, you know. We did it with a visit to the African Union, for instance, when the Honourable Mahau and Honourable September left. We requested Parliament, and they were Parliament paid for. Sorry, did I say? Oh, Honorable Suleiman and Honorable Mahau. Oh, sorry, that's what I wanted to say. So I'm saying, so let's apply perhaps for additional two members to go. If it's approved, it's fine. If not approved, it's not a trade smash.
That approach. But I just think we should sensitize the department in this regard. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay. That's fine. We are aware we should do that as well. Okay, Honorable Members, that then effectively concludes the business of the day, and the House is adjourned. John, I'm...